Always goes so quiet so quickly. No, the music, because you feel it. Huh? I tried to get one that's adjustable, so it could go shorter. But anyway. There's such a thing, but, you know, most people that come up here are taller than me. All right. Good morning, everyone. Hi. This message, I think, has changed on me quite a few times. I know, that's what I thought. So if there's one thing that I feel that God wants you to get today, is that we can speak about Jesus, we can sing about Jesus, we can watch about Jesus, we can read about Jesus, but do we encounter Jesus? And that's what transforms us, is the encounter. We had Trent here on Wednesday. Who was here on Wednesday? That was like, you can't describe it unless you were here, right? But life-breathing. And he said to us, we spent the day with him yesterday, and he said, he feels that he's to go to places and just breathe life into it, shift atmospheres, and then go. And it honestly felt that's what happened here on Wednesday night. People, the altar was completely full of people going through things of getting rid of their own Goliaths, putting their paths behind them. So many different things that people were going through. And in this message, we're going through the road to Emmaus, right? After Easter, after the resurrection. And there's so much in these verses. You could preach on this, I think, every day for 365 days and get a different message, because there's so much in these verses. So we've preached on this quite a bit in our church, but I think we get something different each time we preach on this. And there's different ways that Jesus encounters us, and there's different ways he speaks to us. And that was really where the message was going. And then I felt God just like sort of slam me, like, and yes, there's all that. How does he speak to us? How does he communicate to us? But it was, without an encounter with him, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? Some of you know Elton and my story, and when we hear Trent's story and his wife Jade's story, we go, we haven't even touched the surface on speaking about our story, because there's so much shame in our story that we go, okay, he's made us new, and that's true, he's made us new, so we walk this way, right? But there's so much testimony in where he brought us from. But when we leave it alone over here because we're new and we don't actually pick it up to go, it's like what Skye was saying, that's a whole stirring up in her, right? As well as probably all of us, but a whole stirring up in her, and goes, what do I do with this? And I know Skye's story, and I probably should have said this to you to your face, but I'll say this on the stage. There's so much in your story that if you were to turn around and go, I'm going to actually say to my family, this is where I came from, because this is where I was and this is where I am, that would do wonders, right? But we don't see that, because we've been in this world for so long and we go, this is where we are and we need to keep up here or show something or fit in here. We've always been a little different, right? I've said this a million times since the transition. We've always been that little bit different. We all have, though. We all come from a background of something a little bit different. But when we don't use it, what's the point of the little bit different when we're all trying to be the same? So I feel like this message, I'm going, it's just going to come out however it's going to come out. We're going to go down this road and we're going to see what happens. But last week, I sort of ended on Jesus in the 40 days, showed himself. resurrected to over 500 people, and in different ways, through words, through wounds, through breaking of bread. So he comes to us in different ways. He visits us in different ways. He speaks to us in different ways. But the whole point is to encounter him. There is no point in reading the word of God when you don't encounter him. There's no point in singing his name when you don't encounter him. Reading his name when you don't encounter him. Watching him when you don't encounter him. There's no point, because the whole point is encountering him. That's the whole point. And we hear people say, I hear the audible voice of God. And then there's like a lot of us that go, I've never heard the audible voice of God. Is something wrong with me? Because I don't hear the audible voice of God. And then we hear Trent's story of how he, when you hear his testimony of how he felt the Holy Spirit and it came up behind him and it was this whole powerful feeling. And when you hear Elton's story, this ring went around him like the ring of Saturn, and this whole powerful Holy Spirit encounter, and God told him, turn to a scripture, and it was so amazing. And this scripture said, by grace you've been saved. And it's like, wow, so amazing. And I didn't have that. There's thousands of people that don't have that, that are just on that road to Emmaus, that meet Jesus in that, on that road, in that silence, on that road. Because that didn't happen to me. What happened to me was I was in a really not a good place with a very newborn, with Elton being Elton. Sorry for his family. I did not know this was happening today. And I was watching Joyce Meyer on TV, and she's sleeping next to me. And I thought, I can't do this anymore. And I gave my heart to the Lord watching TV, watching Joyce Meyer. That was it. That was it. I didn't have a massive ring around me. I didn't have the Holy Spirit take over me. I didn't have that encounter. I was just on a road that he met me. Our angels were cheering. We know this. All right. Let me just pray this message. Thank you, Father. We just thank you, God, for this message. And I just pray, Lord, that you meet every single person here today. Amen. Luke 24:13-35, but we're just going to go through a little bit at a time. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. I want us to get into this story. Like, and really dive in like we're on this road, right? So let's picture it a little bit. Late afternoon, maybe. Late afternoon, it's going to take a few hours, 7 miles. So I'm trying to, I didn't go Googling, but I'm figuring it's a few hours. Long time. A few hours, yeah, something like that. Anyway, let's say that. Bit weary in their steps, walking there. You can imagine these two talking, and then someone comes along. So they're probably, their steps are quite sorrowful, you can imagine. And someone comes along pretty upright in their steps, trying to, like, you know, maybe a little bit chirpy, because, you know, we know that Jesus isn't so sorrowful while he's walking, trying to, you know, catch up to them. So he's walking up to them. We can hear someone walking up to us. I don't know how many people walk, or when you, especially when you're walking around the river and you hear people walking next to you, and you're maybe talking to someone, and your voice goes down because you don't want them to hear what you're saying. Some people don't. Some people, you can hear the whole conversation while they're walking up. We're walking and we can hear the whole conversation. But I'm not one of those people. So I can imagine Jesus walking up and I'm like, let's keep it down so he doesn't hear what we're saying. But you can imagine this person coming up, keeping step, and just comes alongside us, starts walking with us. He asks, what are you discussing together as you walk along? A question. Jesus asks a question, because a question is what locates every single one of us. When he asks us a question, in this week, when I met with Trent, he asked me a question. And that question located stuff in me. When Jesus asks us a question, it locates us. So he asks, like he didn't know, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days? Are you the only one?" Jesus, now letting them tell them him about Jesus, "What things?" he asked. And you wonder in that moment, did he try to hold back a smile? Because he knows what happened to him. So you just wonder, was he like holding that back, or was he like straight-faced, or how? Like, so he asked, "What things?" "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." They did not see Jesus. So they're telling Jesus that their friends didn't see Jesus while they're not seeing Jesus. And in that moment, you go, sometimes we can see somebody else's journey and we can judge somebody else's journey that they don't see Jesus while we're not actually seeing Jesus while we're on a road ourselves. Because they're telling Jesus they don't see Jesus. They didn't see Jesus while they're not seeing Jesus. Right? So Jesus tells them, Jesus had told them, stay in Jerusalem. Wait for the Father. Wait for the Holy Spirit. They don't. They don't wait. So Jesus had told them to stay in Jerusalem. Plus, Jerusalem's where the believers were. Jerusalem's where the disciples were. Jerusalem is where they should have stayed. And us as believers sometimes, when we get so disheartened, we don't stay where Jesus tells us to stay. And we quit the journey before the journey even ends. And we end up on a road, downcast. And it hasn't even come to an end. So they leave. They leave where Jesus tells them to stay. So verse 21, I want to go back, it says, "But we had hoped that he was the one." Because you wonder why they left, right? They have to have left because of something. Otherwise, why wouldn't you stay? He had told them these things are going to happen. So one, you can see there's unbelief. Two, they don't see Jesus. So something was blocking them from seeing Jesus. Three, they tell other people that they didn't see Jesus. So we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And verse 17 tells us all the emotions they were carrying because it says they were downcast. And downcast, I don't know if I can say this right, but in Greek it's skuthropos, means gloomy, depressed, solemn. It was a bit like me when I was giving up coffee a few weeks ago. They were discouraged, depressed, hopeless, walking away from all they had hoped for. From all that God was doing, from all that God was about to do, from all that God said he was doing. We had hoped he would be the one. I had hoped things would turn out differently. I hoped I would have been in a better place. I'd hoped that wasn't the ending. I'd hoped good God would have healed. I'd hoped I'd be further along by now. I'd hoped I would have been married with a family. I'd hoped they would have appreciated me after what I did. I hoped. We had hoped he would have been the one that redeemed Israel. And there's hopes in every single one of us. Expectations that are unmet in every single one of us. I hoped it turned out differently. I hoped. So their face were downcast. Don't quit the journey before it's over. Because that's what they did. They had hoped, there was unmet expectations, and then they went on their road. But we have a Jesus that is so kind that goes, I'm going to come after you. I'm going to come after you. Which is all really backwards because we're following him. That's what he says to us. But then he goes, I'm going to go follow them because that's what he did. So verse 25, he said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. He did not start with, it's me. This is the resurrection. He goes back into the suffering because they had to understand the togetherness of the pain and the glory because it's together. Because we have to understand, because sometimes we can skip over. I think Vicky was up here a few weeks ago and talked about feelings. We have to feel. We have to understand he meets us in our grief. We have to understand. We have to actually feel what we're feeling. We have to understand. We have to go through it. And he meets us there. But if we don't understand that, and we're constantly going, he's risen, he's risen, he's risen, he's risen. And then something happens, and then we crash, and then we walk. Because we don't actually process everything that we're going through. And he comes right in the middle and goes, let me go back to the scriptures and talk about the suffering. Let me meet exactly at this point. So as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. No, I was right. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he broke bread, gave thanks, broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true. The Lord has risen and he has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. I remember one time I was going through this really, wasn't a good plot spot, and I was going through something and I was about to go into a meeting which was going to be quite confronting in that evening. And I thought, oh, I need to go take some time out with God. So I thought, all right, I'm going to go down to the beach and I'm going to sit by the beach and I'm going to get a juice and I'm going to watch the water, right? Nature. I like nature. So let me go down to the beach. So I go down to the beach and I'm sitting there and I go, okay, Lord, I'm here. And I sat on this hill part. Then this man comes over and sits next to me. Now, I wanted to get up and walk away. That's the truth, but I didn't want to be rude. So he sits next to me and he starts talking to me about Jesus. And all I'm thinking is, I already know him. You got the wrong person. I'm trying to meet with him and you're interrupting me. That's what went through my head. So then I think I'm doing him a favor by talking to him because, you here? I might as well. So, but, you know, in me, it was like, you got the wrong person. I already know him. Found out, like, you know, because, okay, I've got to do the right thing. I've got to have a conversation with the guy. So we sat down for a while, an older guy. For a while, he tells me he lives up the road. And when his grandkids come and his wife's doing their nails, painting their nails and stuff like this, he goes down to the beach, he walks down there and he witnesses. And he just witnessed to a group of teenagers, and they all thought he was a little bit weird, and I thought, yeah, I can see why they would think that. Anyway, I'm sitting there with him, and we have this massive conversation about why I'm there. Didn't go into details, but why I'm there, and I'm trying to spend time with God. You're interrupting me, and I didn't really say that, no. But we're having this conversation, and it was quite a long conversation, quite a good conversation. And then he leaves. And then I just felt like, oh, I don't need to be here anymore. And I left. And we don't know how God meets us, when he's going to meet us. And sometimes we can actually think the very thing that's interrupting us, we think is an interruption, is actually Jesus encountering us, is actually Jesus meeting us. Because I thought he was interrupting me, and I wanted to walk away. Because I don't need you to tell me I need to know Jesus. I already know Jesus. I'm already in a church. I'm already. And sometimes we can think we're just so, I don't even know what the word is, but we don't need it. And every single one of us need it. But we're so sometimes blinded by what we're going through that we don't see Jesus when he's standing right beside us, when he's walking right beside us, when he's sitting right beside us. We sometimes don't actually see us. And this encounter on the Emmaus describes our everyday journey. Our everyday journey where he's trying to come up alongside us, when he's trying to speak to us, when he's trying to get our attention, when he's trying to show us what he's trying to say to us, when we need him, when we don't think we need him, when he's trying to encounter us, when we don't really know that we need him to encounter us. We're trying to meet with him. He's trying to meet me. I'm trying to meet with him. Something's not right there. Because I was so blinded by my situation that I didn't see what he was actually doing. We have to proactively, and it takes effort for us to meet Jesus. These people, these two, spoke about their grief, right? They spoke about their hurt. They spoke about their pain. They didn't just this stranger and go, we don't know you, we don't trust you, we're not going to tell you anything. If you don't know what happened, then that's a little bit, you know, I'm a little bit suspicious of you. If you don't know what happened in Jerusalem already, then that's a bit wary. I'm a little bit suspicious. I'm not going to tell you. Let's just keep going. They didn't. They actually spoke about their grief. They actually spoke about what they were feeling. They hoped he was going to be the one. And Jesus meets them right in that grief and speaks about the scriptures. The beautiful thing about when he broke bread that I see in this is that we can read the scriptures, but without an encounter with Jesus and sitting with him, we can't see anything. So when he read them the scriptures and he went back into Moses, he went back into the scriptures, they still didn't see. It was only when he sat with them and he broke the bread and it was in communion did he see. Now, I don't want to sit here and plug our connect groups. I do, but I don't, but I do. But what happens around the table when we're together and we have a meal together and we break bread together and we're together, that's what happens. That's why we're supposed to be in community. We're supposed to be in community. It wasn't like one person in Jesus and he just came along with the one person. This was sitting together, breaking bread together, having a meal together. I heard somewhere that someone said that in the book of Luke, you either see Jesus having a meal, leaving a meal, or going to a meal. It's important for us to be together having a meal. And we're doing this at lunch now. But it's important for even the smaller groups to come together and have a meal. It's important for us to come into community, break bread together, and go into our smaller groups and talk and meet each other with our grief, meet each other with things that we're going through, speak and Jesus with us. It's important for us to do that. This shows it's important for us to be together to do that. This is not a one journey, an alone journey. We're not supposed to be isolated. And if you feel that you're isolated, the enemy's speaking to you. That's the truth. He's speaking to you. If he's telling you, you can do this journey with just you and God, that's not God. That is not God. He doesn't tell you to do this journey alone. He has designed you to do this journey with community. He's designed you to do this journey together. And this journey happens on these long roads. This journey happens in the mundane, in the ordinary, in when you don't see it, in when you're sitting at a beach. It was with someone that I felt this encounter. It was with someone. It wasn't alone. I didn't even know this person. And I didn't even know that this was the encounter till he left because I was so blinded. We are to encounter Jesus is the only way we have revelation in our lives, the only way we transform. When we're talking about being followers of Christ, we're talking about being Him. We're talking about copying Jesus. We're talking about being His apprentice. We're talking about doing everything that He does. And so we can go out and make disciples, and we can do everything that He does because we have the power that's on the inside of us to, you know, do more than what He did, right? That's what it says. That's what Scripture says. The only way we're going to do that is by encountering Him. We're not going to do that just because we're reading the Word. Or He says that we should do this in the Word, so let me go and do this. But you haven't encountered Him, it doesn't work. And then we wonder why it doesn't work, and then we get so downcast, and then we walk away. Jesus is so kind in this story, He doesn't send an angel, a messenger, a text message saying, hey, whoa, I've risen. He doesn't send Joyce Meyer. He doesn't send anything. He sends Himself. He sends Himself. He sends Himself to meet them. He sends Himself to these two guys. That's how important they are. That's how important you are. He comes along Himself. He comes along Himself to encounter you. Not with everything else. And He does use other things. He does use other things to speak to you. There's a couple of ways He spoke in this, in these verses. So conversationally, He drew out conversation. So He's wanting to meet you in your conversation. He's asking you questions. He meets you through Scripture, in communion, and inwardly, because it says their hearts were burning. He meets you inwardly. But none of that means anything without encountering Him Himself. All of that is encountering Him. In John 5:39-14, it says, you study the Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. Yet these are the very Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. It's in Him, and it's always been in Him. Nothing can replace, and nothing matters more than a personal encounter with Jesus. Nothing. Everything we read in Scripture should lead us to Him. And when we encounter Him, should lead us to Scripture. That's how it should work. Not Scripture. He did not encounter these guys by any academic talk, theology talk, debating. He did not encounter them through any of that. He just met them exactly where they were at and encountered them with love. That's how He encountered them. So I got this quote from Frederick Buechner, I think that's how you say his name. So he said, You'd have to expect a little more post-resurrection fanfare, an angel choir filling the sky with a hallelujah chorus perhaps, but instead Jesus pursuing two sad pilgrims on a dusty road to a little village out back of beyond. He comes in the middle of all their questions. It's sheer ordinariness of it all that is so striking. He goes after them. It was no grand entrance. It was no miracle sermon. It was no lights. It was none of that. He just pursued them, and they encountered Him. And then they came around the table with a shared meal. There was no amazing Bible study, and they're all good to have. They're all good to do. But He wants to encounter you. All right, so put ourselves back in the story. This story begins, they're blind, they don't understand it's Jesus, the story ends and they see clearly. This is what happens when we encounter. The story begins, they're discouraged, they're despairing, they're upset. The story ends with joy and excitement and passion. The story begins with disappointment with God. Where are you? What's going on? We had hoped. Our expectations aren't met. The story ends in a sense of wonder, expectations, their eyes open. It's you, Jesus. The same guys who in the beginning were walking away from believers, were walking away from this whole Christian thing, have now got their eyes open. They're walking back to tell everybody. That's who we are. That's who Trent was trying to talk to us about on Wednesday night. With everything he went through, he went back to tell everybody. That's who we are as people. That's who we are as C3 Stand. We have a whole community. Sky stood up here and spoke about us talking about who Jesus is. That only comes because of our story, because of our encounter, because of who we are. It does not matter. You know, Elton and I have said for so long, because you can get these like outrageous testimonies, which we heard, you can get these outrageous testimonies, and then you can get testimonies of people who have gone, I have been faithful with Jesus my whole life. You know, something that burns on us is those people who have stayed faithful to Jesus their whole life. Because there is so much temptation out there in this world today. There's so much temptation that tells you to walk away. There's so much temptation that tells you, let me go make my own testimony so I can come out there and I can be so powerful. And you know what's so powerful? And if I'm talking to all of you young people here today, what's so powerful is going, you know what, I'm going to stay the course. And even the older ones that go, you know what, this is just too hard. Let me go out and come back because then maybe somebody will listen to me. You know, it's powerful, any testimony. But to stay the course, no matter what happens, because this world is hard to stay the course in. This is a narrow path, right? It's a narrow path. But to turn around and say, I stayed this course no matter what temptation I was faced with, no matter what the enemy, because the enemy wants to get you out, right? He wants to get you out of being a Christian. He wants to get you out of following God. He wants to get you out of that. So there's a lot of temptation in your world, every single one of you. A lot of trials. It says you're going to go through many trials. There's a lot of trials that you will face if you're not already facing. So the fact that you can actually stay this course, that's a testimony. So when you're speaking to someone and they go, you don't understand my story, go, no, you don't, no, I don't. But you know what? I have gone through things that have tried to get me out, but I know a God that is so faithful, that's so loving, and I don't want to leave his love because I'm so scared of what's out there because I know how much he carries me. We don't need a huge testimony. If you've got one, that's amazing too. But if you feel that you don't because you've walked this journey of being Christian all your life, that is a huge testimony. You need to own it as a huge testimony. You don't need to be kidnapped with a gun. That's amazing. You don't need to be kidnapped with a gun to be your only testimony. If you stay the course, that's a testimony. Because there's a target on your back, that's a testimony. So stand in it and tell people about the God that you serve. Tell him who he is. So I'm probably get the band up because I really want to do something this morning, which Sky went into as well. But he wants you to be honest with him. These two were honest with him. They said, this is what we hoped for. This is what we thought was going to happen. And it didn't happen. He met them right at their grief. He met them in their unmet expectations. He met them right where they were feeling downcast, right where they were depressed, right where they were feeling. And sometimes we can have this closed door in our hearts, closed door in our lives, where we go, you know what, God, you just can't get into that. Or people can't get into that because we've gone through whatever we've gone through. The way we encounter is when we open that up. We cannot truly encounter when we only give him half or three quarters or a quarter. Or however that looks. We only encounter when we open up the full thing. And that's what he's asking us for. But at the same time, when we sit here and it's only about ourselves, we can stay there too. So this morning, we all, I'm assuming, we all know somebody who's on their own Emmaus walk, who is going through their stuff or doesn't know Jesus. And we prayed for it this morning, but I believe that it was specific that God asked me to ask you this morning that we're going to stand in the gap for people who are on their Emmaus walk. You can know several people. I know several people who are on their Emmaus walk who don't know Jesus. And if you yourself are going, I need to give him my grief, that's you too. I'm not saying push that aside. We're praying for you too. But I want us all to stand. But I saw the altar full on Wednesday night. When I saw the altar full on Wednesday night, because of the Goliaths and because of the pasts that are still there or that we're trying to get rid of, the those sort of things and the voices and all that sort of stuff, it actually shows that the enemy's having a field day with our minds. A field day with our minds. And at some, it can actually show that somewhere along the line, each one of us can be on some sort of road to Emmaus. We might not be feeling that we've turned our backs on believers or where God told us to stay. But you know what? There could be some of you here today that God actually told you to stay put, or God told you to do something, or God said, just wait for that promise, and you've gone, you haven't fulfilled it in the time that I thought you would fulfill it in. So now I'm walking a little bit, just one step. It may not even be the just walking a journey. You may have just done one step, one step, one step, one step, and you don't even know it. But he says, take heart, I've overcome the world. But when we turn around and say, well, I'm going to have many troubles, and that's what I'm going to hold on to, and I'm not going to hold on to the fact that he's already got the victory, and so in us there's already the victory, we're already losing. We're already on the walk, because we're holding on to the trials that we're going to have, or we think we're going to have, or that we're already in, instead of going, he's got the victory, take heart, I've overcome the world. That's what he says. That's the promise. So he says, stay, because that's the promise. Stay with me. Learn who I am. Learn how much I love you. Know what I've put inside you. Know the power that's in you. Know what I want to give you. Know who I say that you are. Know that you're my family. Know that you're adopted into my family. It doesn't matter any past that we've all come from. We're all in the same family. And we all try and hide something along the way because we just don't want someone to know that part. And he goes, I want to meet you in that part. And then I want to transform that part so you can speak that part. We have a world that is so deep in mental health right now. So deep. A world that's so hopeless. A world that watches the news and goes, where is this world going, Lord? And we'll move on. Or we could pray for it. But a world that's so hopeless. A world that has 99 genders or whatever it is. A world that is confused. A world that is trying to find identity. And he goes, I'm here to show you who you are. I'm here to show you who you are. But if you don't know him and you don't encounter him, you're on the road. And it doesn't matter how much you read, how much you sing, how much you watch, how much you speak, if you don't encounter him. And how you encounter him is by being honest with him. Where exactly where you're at, be honest with him. Open it up. So while your eyes are closed, if it's you, add it on to someone you know. Whoever you know that is on their amazing walk, that is turned and is walking, downcast, depressed, sorrowful, gloomy. They had hoped for things. They were walking like it was all over. Jesus was walking like it all had just begun. There's a difference. He was walking like it all had just begun because it had all just begun. So are we those people who go, they didn't see Jesus while we don't see Jesus? Or are we those people that go, Lord, here I am. He's all of my stuff. Let me turn back. And you don't have to have, it's not a backsliding thing. It's just a unmet expectation thing. Because they still knew who Jesus was. They just didn't meet the resurrected Jesus. And sometimes we can know who Jesus is in our life or was in our life, but you haven't met the resurrected Jesus. And there's a difference in meeting the resurrected Jesus that's still alive today. And when you meet the resurrected Jesus, everything in your life is hopeful. Everything in your life is joyful, even if it doesn't look that way. Because he says, I'm the way, the truth, the life. and I am alive, and I rose from the dead, and that tomb is empty. So we need to meet the resurrected Jesus, not just the Jesus we knew beforehand, not just the Jesus that was doing all those miracles before. So that's how we live it. We got to know the resurrected Jesus, that he rose and he goes, I'm in you now. I put the Holy Spirit in you. You have that same power that's in you. That's who we're walking with. So let's hold on to those people, that person, whoever that is, as well as you if it's you. And let's pray. All of you pray for those people, those loved ones. Don't know Jesus on that walk. Whoever's coming to your mind right now, let's intercede for those people. Thank you, Father. God, we lift these people up to you, Father, right now. Who's ever in our hearts, who's ever in our mind, Jesus, bring them back to you. May they know and encounter the resurrected Jesus. May they know and encounter the resurrected you, Father God. May you encounter their hearts, Jesus, right where they're at right now, where you meet them where they're at, Father. May you ask them the questions, God, that will get them to be honest, Lord, that will get them to open up to you, Father, that will get them to know your heart, Jesus, that will get them to know who you are, God. Doesn't matter where they are, they're not too far gone, Jesus. May you meet them there, Jesus. May you show them your face, Father. May you break bread with them, God, that their eyes may be open, Jesus, and they will see you, God. May they see you, Jesus. If their eyes are blind, or if our eyes are blind, may you open our eyes, Jesus. May you bring us to the right people that you want us to sit at the table with you, Jesus. May you bring the right people to them, Father God, that you want them to sit at the table with them, with you, Jesus. May you bring them into, maybe he wants you to call them. Maybe he wants you to pray for them. Maybe he wants you to break bread with them. Maybe he wants you to invite them for a meal. Maybe he wants you to invite them to a connect group. Maybe he wants you to invite them somewhere. But lay on your heart, Jesus, lay on every single person's heart, whatever it is that you want us to do, Father. May we see you, God. May we hear you, Father. May you encounter us, Father, in conversation, in scripture, inwardly, in communion. May you, Jesus, encounter us personally, every single one of us, and every single person that we have raised in our hearts and our minds and our hands and everything today, Father, may you encounter their hearts. May their hearts be open. May you do what you want to do. Say, change, move, everything that you want in these people's lives, in our lives, Father, we're open. And may they be open, Father. May their ears be soft to hear you. May their hearts be soft, Father, that it lays on them, Father. I just thank you, God, that these people will return to you, Father. Return to where you told them to be. Return to your heart, Father. Return to know you, Jesus. And may you encounter every single one. May they be part of your family like you have always intended, Jesus. May we seek you, God, as you seek us. May we partner with you, God, the way you want to partner with us, Father. We're singing this. If you do want prayer, if it's something in you that goes, you know what, I just need to step out, I need prayer, I want to encounter Jesus, I want prayer, you don't have to, you can do it yourself. If you go, I want prayer, I've been on this Emmaus road, or I've been thinking it looks different to what it actually is, and I just want to encounter him. You can come to the front. We can pray for you, or you can just come to the front while we've got worship on. Amen.
What are you saying?